You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Now, Don, if you can just hear
what's
some...
What's going on?
Now, Don, please. This is my son upstairs in his office, and he's...
Was strangling somebody?
No, there's a woman, a lady up there who's playing the guitar. It's a job interview. She's a very good musician. And Jack, my son, runs Top Dog Entertainment, which is going very well. And
She's
auditioning. So if you can hear music in the background, it's not a fault of the equipment. We've been told by several people, a lot of people, that there is an audio discrepancy on this podcast.
We're very low, yeah.
What is it?
We're just a bit, the levels are low.
But, and we're going to send it back to the supplier.
Yeah, we've got a problem with our panel.
It's funny who talks to who, because I was bought, just tell you, my informant said, just tell those two guys. It's not the fact that you're not talking into the microphone. It is...
No, that used to be.
Used to be, is it?
You're better now.
Oh, thank you.
Don,
that's all right.
We're just telling people, in case they're grappling with their receptive device, which is called their iPhone or wherever they listen to this, it might not necessarily be their fault. We think it's the fault of the equipment we have here, so we've arranged to send it back to be overhauled. Right. And in the meantime, if you can just grapple with it, there's a couple of things I want to speak to you personally about before we get on to more important subjects.
Personally?
Yes, personally.
Well, why couldn't you pick the phone up instead of having it...
Well, I'm doing it here now, Don.
In this forum, you could have rung me. It might be embarrassing.
It's not embarrassing.
You set me up again.
No, I haven't. It's about when we have a guest. Now, we've got, do you know who we've got? Can I preempt who we've got coming in? We've got Neil Mitchell coming in, you know, the great radio broadcaster, Neil Mitchell.
I've never met him.
I'm just saying he's coming in. Your interview techniques. Do you know, Don, when you get on a roll, you've got to remember there's someone else interviewing the guest as well, rather than you just going on and on and on and me putting my hand up and you say, no, and another thing. And it's a duo. We do it together.
Together.
And you're not to...
A bit similar to the first episode last week. Episode last week, Johnny's Hour. Johnny's half hour.
Well, Don, I look across this desk and have done for a year at those blank eyes, that space in between on the other side of your nose, and I can see into the back of your brain. Usually you've got crickets, so that's why I keep talking. But your interviewing techniques don't just go on and on and on.
That's the only interesting part of this show, somebody else, a third party.
Right, go ahead with your topics now. Go ahead.
Could I ask you a question?
Is that a topic?
Can I ask you a question? Now, a former AFL, VFL player, have you ever had occasion with Geelong of them using your image or signature for their own advantage without your permission?
No.
Sam turned up at Cadinia Park last week.
Beg your pardon?
Sam.
Slow down. I mean,
he only said Sam turned up and
said something about Cadinia.
Sam turned up at Cadinia Park last week and gave him the old, don't you know who I am?
You arsehole.
Hang on. Explain yourself. As Pauline Hanson says, please explain.
He went in and terrorised the young staffer with a, don't you know who I am?
Rod.
You went to the football.
Rod. No, don't.
Explain. Set the scene. Did he go to the football at Cadinia Park?
Rod.
Rod. Don't laugh.
No, he turned up the day before demanding a ticket. He demanded seats for his sisters.
I tell you what.
And what they didn't know who you were. I had the same problem.
I'll tell you what, Rod. I'll tell you this right now. If that makes the press or the papers, you know that's a lie.
So you've used...
No, Don, please. That's bullshit.
And said, hi, Stan Newnham. How can we help?
Stan? Stan. How do you know? Were you there, little sir?
I heard. It got back to me.
I told him. I said I was down at Cadinia Park because I wanted to know why the seats that I have bought for my family, they can't sit in them.
And thumped the desk.
The very pleasant woman who came out called... Oh.
Yes, the lady. Eva. Pleasant.
What does her name was?
I don't know.
Eva. She was very pleasant. And I said, why? And she said, because, Sam, we're not. They're not
Stan.
Allowed to... I'll knock him out. They're not allowed to sit next to one another. COVID restrictions. Nothing to do with the club. It's the government. They have to go into a pool of seat allocation by Ticketek, and then they give you seats because you can't sit in the same row and all that stuff because of social distancing. And I said, well, why am I a member? Why have I bought a member's ticket? She said,
don't you know who I am?
I was trying to shut up. You've upset the show. I'll have to join him in a minute. Okay, so the tickets go into a pool.
Yes, and I said, why have I paid $600 to have the seats? And she said, that's a fair question. She said, but if you're not a member, you don't go into the pool. So only members go into the pool.
But some members could miss out.
Some members could, but that's not the club's fault. That is the government edict that you can't have a capacity crowd. So she explained it very politely and very succinctly. And if you say that I said, don't you know who I am, I never said that at all, and I wouldn't say that. I said, I'm only asking on behalf of my sisters who wonder why they can't sit next to one another, and I wasn't sure how it worked, and I thanked her, and she said, all the best, Sam. Stan. And and that is bullshit what he said.
Okay, so, okay, there's a bigger question.
I want you to
there's
say bigger, that's bullshit.
I'm not saying anything.
Hey, listen, a bigger question came out of that. So you could be a Geelong member and not get to see a game all year.
As I understand,
a seated member or
no, way. Surely not, because it's three quarter
so Don,
capacity.
No, it's a good
so
question.
So you'd be stiff to miss out every week.
Well,
so
no, there is that possibility.
Yes,
but it'd be the odds.
So again, just say there's 30,000. How many members? 30,000.
Yeah, minimum. Oh, 50,
80. Okay, say there's 50,000 members, more. And the ground capacity less the COVID 50. Restrictions is 20.
20. Yeah.
So. Those
no, it's seats, isn't it? It's only the seats, people, not members.
Well, they're all seats, aren't they?
No, I don't think so.
I think so.
Well, you've got to be a member to get it.
You've got to have enough seats for each of their members at Geelong.
There's 50,000.
Hang on,
this
I'm
is the
up.
Interview coming down the stairs now, so don't be...
The end of the audition.
Yep, it's the end of the audition.
Oh, that's all right. Yeah.
That's right. It's all right, no probs. Well done.
Very good. Nice voice.
And, oh, yes. Now, Don...
But hang on, Don. Members, there could be members miss out.
Geelong's got 60,000 members, and how many seats are there at KP?
Certainly not that.
Yeah, so it must be just the seat holders.
Well, you reserve a seat.
They're in a ballot, not just members, surely.
Well,
not.
Say there's 20,000, there wouldn't be 20,000 seats.
No,
if you're not a member, you
seats.
Don't go into the ballot, I don't think.
I think it's only the
reserve
seat.
And there's no
holders.
Such thing as standing room at the football now, I
yeah,
don't
think.
Yeah,
that's finished. Remember those days?
So they're all seats.
Remember those days at Collingwood standing room?
Yeah, and there weren't at Windy
toilets.
Hill.
So there weren't toilets.
That's right. They used to piss in those big cans.
Or in the umbrella.
Carlton United.
That's right.
With the big tin cans, that's you know. Then they used to open them with a tin opener. Yeah. Don, so I went down to Geelong. Very pleasant conversation. It's like getting across the wall at East Berlin to West Berlin, getting into the club. You've got to go through turnstiles and sign in, and you've got to have your passport. But it's very professionally run, and she was a very pleasant woman.
I watched a bit of that game on the television. Person. It's a terrific stadium, isn't it? Boutique stadium?
Boutique stadium. We'll get onto that in
so
sport.
Sorry to interrupt, Don. What were you saying about your issue at Hawthorn?
Oh, yeah, did they use your image or signature
no, I said.
Or anything along? That's interesting. They do it at Hawthorn.
They did. What happened?
Go on, Don. You've got something. Be in your bonnet about something.
Oh, you're a...
Go on. Did they use...
Well, they do. They've done it twice now.
What did they do to you, Donnie?
Well, twice. A couple of years ago, they were putting out pictures.
Pictures.
Pictures or...
Pictures.
Photographs, whatever else, with...
Images.
Signature... The player's signature underneath. They've lifted the signature and using and selling them.
Photostat signature.
That's what they were doing a few years ago. It caused a bit of
consternation.
Well, as far as I was concerned, yes. that they could actually do that without asking you, and there is a process of lifting your signature.
Just clarify this, Don. Now, your now, image recently, has appeared on a promotion from the Hawthorn Football Club.
Now, just recently, it's appeared on a promotional I think it's something to do with membership, loyalty certificate for membership, a 30-year membership. They call it a Scott certificate or something. And your
Scott certificate.
Well, something. And my image is on this particular certificate signed by Jeff Kennett and Justin Reeves, the CEO.
And your signature alongside.
Not my signature, no. It's just... You think they'd ring and ask, wouldn't
you? So it's a loyalty certificate which you're not...
I'm looking for it. I can't find it.
It's a loyalty certificate, Don, which you're not...
I put in Don Scott membership loyalty... I don't know. I just put in keywords.
So you're not willing to be loyal enough to let them put on their loyalty certificate your image?
No, not that you would like to be asked. Well, isn't it manners to be asked?
Well, I would think it'd be... diplomatic to ask you, Don, exactly. But are you kicking up now that you're...
No. Asked whether you get used. But, you know, you have a use-by date in a football club, but they certainly do trot you out when they need something.
All that comes up is some feud you're having with Jeff Kennett.
Oh, God.
So Don, you've... So
I spoke to him, mate. He rang me. We spoke last week.
What about?
Oh, about him, Gabe.
Let's reenact it. Okay, go. Jeff?
Hello, Don. It's Jeffrey Kennett on the phone here. Can you speak? Don, are you
there?
You've
got a problem with me, Jeff.
Yes, Don, I wanted to ask you, I noticed that your image has been on the loyalty certificate.
No. You've got a problem with me because I object to the fact that you... Conflict of interest, Liberal Party and the Hawthorn Football Club.
Well, what's wrong about that? There's plenty of conflict.
Well, you can't do both, Jeff.
What did you call me?
Jeff.
Oh, I thought you said you can't. Oh, you can't. You can't do that. I'm sorry. So what is the problem with all that? There's plenty of conflict of interest.
I know. I realise that, Jeff.
I'm only doing the best thing for the club, unlike you, who wants to take your image off the Scott certificate. And is it true that you wanted a kickback from the Save Hawthorn? You wanted what did he want? A kickback from the Save Hawthorn? You're listening to this, Robert?
No, I'm not.
I'm reading the loyalty. I've got the. I found the loyalty certificate.
Anyhow, go on.
So, Don, I think. You know, with the PA, I think you're meant to get a kickback here.
What do you want about? No,
with the Players Association, I'm sure that there's a deal where...
It's got nothing to do with the Players Association.
I think all players and past players, whenever they use your likeness and image... No, your signature's not on here. There's just a picture of you, Don.
And well, that's right. There's a certificate. No, read it. Anyway,
you know, actually, can I... There's a picture of you, Don, pointing at someone saying, I'm going to kill you. What do you face me? Look at it. It's not even an action shot.
Oh, it's a bit of an action shot. It's him pointing, saying, pick him up there. You're meant to be playing in this Hawthorn side. Pick him up. That's what it looks like you're doing, Don. Now, Don, what do you think about this? Is that the only subject?
You should be honoured, Don.
Is that the only subject you've brought up? You got more? I don't want to dominate it. Go ahead.
Oh, shit.
Go ahead.
You're a beauty. Telstra.
What?
Telstra.
What, the car?
No. The
Ford Telstra?
Company. You think they would.
Telstar.
Telstra?
No, it was a Telstar.
Oh, was it?
Telstra.
Yeah, it was too.
Don, my first girlfriend and my first car had the same name.
Oh, no. Hang on. Your car and girlfriend. Yeah, okay.
Escort. Go on, Don. Keep going.
What an idiot.
Go on.
I heard somebody from Geelong tell me you were a hit at that dance they used to have at Geelong.
A hit?
You were a hit. What was the big dance they had at Geelong on a Saturday night?
Oh, yeah, the Palais.
The Palais. You were a hit.
The program dance.
Well, no, you
used to have a little... God, we've done this before.
No, I haven't. I haven't touched on...
You used to have a little card and you go around and all the Sheilas that would be all the women, all the people, and you'd say... are you booked for the dance number two? And you'd write...
Just hang on, go back. For the people under 70, how did it work?
Well, yeah, it's called a program dance. And right. You used to go to the Palais, which was like a big barn where like full of cows, milking cows. And like not the women, but everyone. We're just like cattle. And you used to get
given a card at the door, and it'd be 1 to 10 or 15, and everyone would have a card, and you'd walk up to someone you thought you'd like to have a dance with, man, woman, or beast.
And did they have a number on or something?
No. And no, you'd walk up and you'd say, could I have a dance number one with you? And they'd look at their card and they'd say, yes, I'm not booked for dance. Yes. So they'd write Sam down, and I'd write down Gladys. And then you go up and then
show. Did they have the opportunity to say no if they weren't booked?
Of course. They can either say no, thank you, or I'm booked. They could say that if they didn't. So then you'd got number one filled and you'd go to number two and say, hello, would you like a dance number two? And they say, no, look, I'm available on dance number four. And so you'd fill your program up and then...
It's like an early version of Tinder.
And when that's probably right, like Twister. And so then, when the music had stopped, there'd be a rush to see if you could find dance number three. And if they'd thought twice about it, they'd scarp it out the back fire escape and we're out having a fag out in the street. And you're standing there with your dick in your hand wondering, who will I dance with next? You end up half the night dancing with blokes.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Nurses from the hospital go to that
What's
dance?
What's that?
Many of the nurses from the hospital were well, you not in the bank teller. You
not,
were the teller at
not
the
Not
bank.
In their uniform, Don. No, it was no, very hard to see if they were nurses because they didn't have their nurses.
So you wouldn't set them up through the week at the bank?
Oh, no, because I didn't know if my program would be full before I asked them. No, but that was called, when you used to do that, called the barn dance. It was extraordinary.
Pride of Erin? Did you do the Pride of Erin?
Oh,
I wasn't good at the evening three-step.
No, and what?
Evening three.
I was good at it at the end of the night. I used to do an evening three-step out into the car and drive them home. Now, Don, please.
Depending on where they lived.
It wouldn't have mattered where they lived. I'd drive from hundreds of miles. Now, Don. Now, here's something I want to ask you. This is a serious question. I notice in Canada. Will I do this now?
Yep.
Rocket? In Canada. Because it's sort of French Canadian people, and English speaking people. They now the French have got together with the English speaking people in Canada, and they want their street names to be in English and in French.
Fair enough.
In English and in French. Thank you, Rocket. And they want.
What about the Indigenous people that happen to live in Canada as well? They're immigrants to the country, those two nationalities.
What's their Indigenous culture? I'm unaware of it.
Indians?
Inuits.
Oh, no. Oh, they're up around Alaska.
Don.
But
stay with
native,
me.
Like the American native.
Oh, God, I'm trying to think of a couple of tribes.
Stay with me.
I'm trying to think
so of French, Canada is, is probably French and English-speaking people, and they want the street names, the main street names, not the little ones in the suburbs, but the main thoroughfares to bear the name in English and French. They're deciding which would be on top of which. Would the English name be on top of the French name or vice versa? And the print has to be exactly the same size. So, and now this is a serious question. So here, the Indigenous people in Australia have got onto this, and they're now asking, I think in Canberra, could the Indigenous, the Aboriginal names of thoroughfares appear in tandem? Have I got this right?
I don't know. You told
have
me
got
this
appear in tandem with the English names. Now, my question is, and this is a legitimate question, not a smart-ass question, is that I didn't know, have the Indigenous people, the Aboriginal people in this country got a language that we recognise? What is there a language? There's French, because it's a whole language of
I think they have names, but they don't have a language. You're right.
Because it's
fragmented. Yeah.
So that's all I was saying. Do you think it would work here? But seeing as you're not onto it.
Well, they tried. This came up before the Mornington Council.
Renaming monuments and stuff.
Yes, different areas down
sites
there.
Sites of independence.
Yes, that's right. But I think it was rejected by the council at a council meeting earlier this year.
The problem is that, yeah, as I think what you're saying is it doesn't necessarily correlate. You know, like what's their word for Burke? They wouldn't have one.
That's my point. They don't actually have a language as such, is what I wasn't trying to.
But I think we should name all the various areas of Melbourne. Like South Melbourne should have Greek names. Brunswick should have Italian names.
What?
All the various, you know, the places that are synonymous with various ethnic groups.
So, all right.
Footscray with the Vietnamese.
So if in Coburg or Brunswick a fair Muslim population overtakes it, we have it written in that Arabic writing, Arabic writing with swirls and
no one will know what
what it means because no one can read. Can they, Don? Can you read Arabic or Chinese?
So depending on the municipality
and
whoever lives in that particular we would have the street names.
That's the logical extension, and I don't think it's not tenable, is it? It sounds like we're not being racist, but it's just not tenable. It's not logical to do that because of what you've said then, Don. You could have Arabic names on and you'd say, what in the hell street's that? And can you – well, it's very hard to read Arabic or Russian, isn't it? Can you read Russian, Don?
It doesn't matter. It'll be English as well.
You're monosyllabic for a start, speaking one-syllable words.
Don, back to your list.
Yep. Telstra. I had to pay my – I didn't pay my telephone bill, ran out. Admittedly, Telstra, I didn't – I'm very slack when it comes to reading – counts, but they did cut off my phone, but they would allow incoming calls. You would think, I would think in today's day and age, wouldn't they send you a text saying that you're a little bit low on your phone account? I know they send accounts, paper accounts, but you think they'd send out a text saying you've got a week in which to pay your account or you're running low.
You've got their settings in the, I know what you're talking about, there's settings in the app. So you say, let me know within blah.
An alert.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'll show you.
I can go completely the other way around. I overpaid by mistake my Telstra account by $890. I paid 2 months when I should have paid one. And I've asked for a credit back and they've said, yes, we'll give you a credit back. That's been going on for 5 months.
How are you going through $890 in 2 months?
Because we're running
I pay 30 phones, bucks.
Running five phones, and we're using most of it here on this. it's taken me 5 months. They've acknowledged that I have a credit, and it's taken me, and I still haven't got it as we sit here today. So that's the other side of the coin.
It's very, very difficult when you do have a phone problem to getting onto Telstra. You'll sit there for...
A couple of hours.
How long were you sitting on the phone for?
I don't do it, Don. I go into the shop in person. It is pointless and futile doing it on the phone.
Yeah,
absolutely pointless. You run up a bigger bill waiting to pay your bill.
Or to even be acknowledged or answered.
That is correct, Don. So it's a very good point, and that gave me a chance to say I'm still waiting for my $890 credit 5 months on. I might go to VCAT or the Consumer Affairs people soon. Because I have a number which says a complaint number which they said is valid, and you mention that to them, they say yes, we'll get back to you. Get back to you. When do you reckon they'll get back to you, Don? Just a question. Never.
Yeah, talking about phones.
Okay.
Do you think that people should? Do you think it's bad manners to access somebody's phone?
Access
somebody's phone.
Of course.
Just give us that question again.
Absolutely.
That's what I think too.
I just watched,
it's just something went on through the week and I thought, looked across, that's not your phone. That's a height of rudeness to...
I don't understand.
...to pick somebody's phone up.
Yeah, your world's
ringing,
on your phone.
If it's ringing, you don't go and pick it up. You know, a name may come up or whatever else. Just let the thing ring out. But anyway, somebody... I thought that is the height of... Whether it's me or not, I'm just asking your opinion.
It is you. I have no idea what you're talking about. Your phone rang and someone answered it.
No. I was just there.
You shouldn't go through other people's phones.
A third party picked up the phone. It wasn't their phone. It was there were a few people around. It wasn't their phone, yet they picked the phone up, looked at who was... I thought that is bad manners. Don't touch somebody else's phone.
Were they friends? Were they in a group of friends?
Doesn't matter whether you're friends or even in a relationship, you're married, husband and wife. I don't.
Oh, that's caused a few dramas in the in life when husbands and wives go through each other's text messages.
They do.
Yeah. Well, oh, that's how everyone gets caught.
Oh, really? I see. Oh, I get you. I thought that the phone might have rang and it was beside. Well,
it did in this instance.
And you looked at it and you said, "Oh, it's for you. It's Billy Fred ringing Ferguson, for you."
Yeah. Apparently, you can get. I brought it up with someone else. Apparently, you can get tracking devices put on your phone too. Is that right?
Yeah, you can.
But I know.
Although I was told that you can, and so
you looked at me like I've done it.
So your movement through the day can be traced.
Absolutely.
So
they would know.
Oh, employers do that. Employers, what? So with company phones and stuff, employers do that, particularly with salespeople or people that are out in the road doing delivery, so they know where they are, make sure they're still moving.
Really?
John, if you're going to if you're going to be part of a felony or a murder, they can trace your phone, even if it's off, as to where you are. So if you're going to do something nefarious, leave your phone at home. And
I understand that from...
Which looks more dodgy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand that from that point of view, but... you know, an employer tracking you or somebody being able to... Anyway.
Now, what did you think of... So we're not... you ever heard of Tina McQueen? Tina McQueen made a off-the-cuff, tongue-in-cheek remark. Was it in Parliament? No.
At a meeting.
At a meeting, saying that... in this current climate, Don, of sexual harassment that's been going on in the political arena and in general society, she, as a note of levity, said, "I wish someone would." What did she say? "Would someone would sexually harass me in the near future?" Or words
something
to that
like
effect.
That. Yeah. Well, I'm no chance of it happening to me. Or
meaning just a joke. She's hasn't had much of a run lately, and she was hoping someone would pounce on it. She's just making a light-hearted,
self-deprecating comment.
Yes, and they've gone apeshit, Don. They've said, "What a
I would kill to be sexually harassed at the moment."
Yes, and they've said, "What a disgraceful thing to say." Could someone differentiate?
Who is she? Who is she?
She's a Liberal. So she says this. She's a Liberal federal vice president, Tina McQueen. She said, "I would kill to be sexually harassed at the moment."
Could someone differentiate?
Well, I saw Jackie Lambie being interviewed by Carl Stefanovic a while ago on the morning show, and I think he said something about the ball that they have or something along that line, and he's yowing to it or something. Yeah, she was very refreshing. She said, "I can't even get to first base, let alone get to the ball."
That's exactly
Jackie Lambie.
That's exactly what this woman was saying. Just a note of levity. If someone couldn't differentiate between the fact that it was a tongue-in-cheek comment about how badly I'm going in the relationship.
It wasn't tasteful. It wasn't well-timed. But it didn't require two or three people to rush out of the meeting and report her tell the world about it. That's what I think is just – everybody's just a narc now. Everybody's just out to get everybody. They try to trip everybody up.
Competition going on.
Can I read you a couple of things that were sent to me through the week? This is what men and women want. Men want
– go on.
Men want – loyalty, number one. Sex, two. Food, three. And encouragement, four. They're the four things that men want. The list for women starts, I won't read it all because it just goes down the page. Loyalty, one. Money, two. Superhuman sex, three. Love, four. Gifts, five. Passwords, phone access, email. It just goes on and on and on.
Mate, you can't read that.
You what?
That's an incredibly sexist fucking text. Well, don't read that out. Who sent you that?
I just get...
Adam.
You get...
Mate, defer the blame. To you.
Actually, a lady sent that to me.
What was the women's... what was the priority with the women? What did you say then? Well, I'll tell you the priority with the men. The first four.
I gave you the first
I'll
four
I'll tell you
men.
The first four. Sex?
No, that's two.
Men want sex. This is my thing. Sex. Number two, sex. Number three, sex. And number four, sex. Men are about sex.
No, they don't. They like talking about it. There was a study once, this is true. There was a study once that said that Australian men are more, what did they say? They are more likely to talk, they want to talk about sex more than they actually want to do sex or want to take part in it.
What? Bullshit.
That's what I'm telling you.
That is
study.
Absolute nonsense.
It's true.
Man. So who...
Oh, by the way. What?
Ms. Byrne?
She's sent another one in trying to...
Phoebe.
Fiona Byrne has sent another little...
It's not bad. Phoebe, a little gem.
Do you want me to... It's a rap name. Phoebe. Yeah, like J-Lo.
Yeah, J-Lo, Phoebe. What's Phoebe say?
Oh, she sent in another one of those little
Christmas
things.
Gift things.
Yes, Christmas. This is her attempt.
She must have bought the book.
She's trying to clean our act up. She said, okay, this is her effort this week. If you're getting surgery, there's a chance some objects might get sewn up inside you.
We've had this.
Yeah.
Sponge.
Sponge, yeah, all that. We've had scissors, sponge, scalpels.
She must listen to this show.
Yeah, or you've just forgotten. You read it out 2 weeks ago. What else did Phoebe send in? you dickhead. What else did she send in?
You had one job.
Give you one job.
Okay. This is her second. In 1871, and I... How do you pronounce that word?
Sam, how old were you?
What?
1871.
I was just in kindergarten. Go on. Spell it, Don.
And you fool.
Spell it.
O-H-I-O.
Ohio.
Lawyer accidentally shot himself and died while demonstrating this in court. Got it? 1871.
How do you say Ohio? I am struggling.
I know I am.
Ohio.
Thank you. Lawyer accidentally shot himself and died while demonstrating this in court. Now, this is Fiona.
Phoebe.
The incorrect way to load a gun. How a defendant could have hypothetically shot himself. How the safety on a gun works. And D, how it's nearly impossible to shoot yourself. Now, what do you think he was trying to do, the lawyer in 1871?
So remember the type of gun it would be, Sam? I don't know what relevance this has.
It'd be
like one of those trumpet things, you know?
Yeah. a cutlass, not a cutlass.
They would they call a blaster or something?
Yeah.
A damn blaster. Or
anyhow.
Anyway.
Number four. D.
Four is D. Oh, D, you say how it's nearly impossible to shoot yourself. What is your answer to Fiona's question?
Don, you are...
It's B. How a defendant could hypothetically shoot himself.
Right.
So the lawyer in 1871 accidentally shot himself and died
while demonstrating this in court.
Now, that's her attempt. Do you think we should go back?
Now give us one of yours, Don, just to really...
I'm still staggered the fact you couldn't pronounce Ohio. Ohio. O-H, you said. H turned me off as soon as you said H. Ohio, Don. Ohio, one of the states of the US of A.
You got a question, Don?
Yes.
Can I make a point?
Oh, you got a point?
Yep. Do you notice how this has been a pretty lame first segment, since we did this? Do you know why? Because I've left this entirely to you to bring up subjects. We've actually spoken
That's your opinion, by the way.
Right, go ahead.
The foreplay act that involves placing a male genitals into a bowl of warm water and then having someone blow bubbles in the water is called A...
This is Phoebe's entry, is it?
No, this is mine. I'm trying to fix up her pathetic effort.
So just that question again, Don?
The foreplay act that involves placing male genitals into a bowl of warm water and then having someone blow the bubbles in the water is called A. Ball Causey. B. Day at the spa. C. Ball bath. Or D. A nut soaker.
So you put your plums into some tepid water and tepid plums into a tepid water.
Then you have a third person or a second person.
They get under the water and blow.
No, they blow bubbles somehow, maybe through a straw into the water.
Maybe through the straw that's attached to their groin. So And it's called a, I'd say it's a plum blaster. What do you say, a ball blaster?
Well, a ball ball cozy, a day at the spa, ball a ball bath.
As a ball koozie, wouldn't it be? They didn't like a jacuzzi.
Ball koozie,
how do you spell it?
Yeah. Ball koozie.
How do you spell koozie?
A nut soaker. So which one is it going to be?
Hang on, go. You only gave me two then. Ball koozie and nut soaker. Give me the other two.
How do you spell ball
koozie?
How do you spell that word?
Oh, don't worry about it. Well, B, a day at the spa. C, ball bath. Or D, a nut soaker.
No, just a ball bath.
No, A, ball koozie.
So there was a guy that reckoned...
Like a jacuzzi.
Do you remember the guy that reckoned you could taste through your thingos? And he dipped them into soy sauce?
Your thingos.
Remember when he dipped them into soy sauce to taste them?
Your testicles.
Yeah.
He did too.
Yeah.
Man said if you dip your testicles into soy sauce, you can actually taste it through your testicles. That was in the mainstream news.
Yeah, yeah. Like it was done in America and then they did it on one of the breakfast shows here last year or something.
They did it on the radio, didn't they? They had a bloke come
it's
in.
It's good for radio, something like that. Don, anything else?
Well, yes. You didn't happen to read that article about the lady that knits fur, animal fur, into cushions?
No.
What, Don?
It's unbelievable what some people do.
Well, how about you explain what she does? Yep.
Okay. Well, I'll just read it to you. It's a fairly long, but this is what this woman does. She's starting up at an industry. You might be interested in doing this, Rod, with your dogs. A Melbourne woman is putting a new spin on the sentimental homewares with cushions made from dog hair. Weaver, Dahlia Holzman, spins the fur that animal lovers collect. In other words, one woman had collected dog hair for
clippings.
10 years, you know, grooming the dog, and got this woman to spin it into a cushion. So when the dog passed away, she could remember the dog.
Oh, God.
Could you believe that? Anyway, I won't read the whole lot out, but it goes for two pages.
Where did you get this, Don?
It's in the just the same as where you get your stuff from.
No, I didn't
we
see...
We are going downhill now. Sam, got anything before we go to sport?
Well, I purposely came lightly prepared, Don, because I thought you'll have a...
Yeah, this is the third... Thanks, Johnny. This is the fourth time you've reminded me of what...
Well, I would say you've come with nothing really. No. Dog fur and Telstra. Now, that's interesting. Telstra gave me a chance to say I haven't got my credit back. Now, I tell you who is prolific with us. The surgeon from Mount Gambier. And Mr. Michael Gato. He's spoken to us a bit.
I'll see the surgeon from Mount Gambier this week.
Now, you said...
You rang... Gambier to show jump.
Oh, so how did you go on the weekend?
Yeah, so...
Oh, it's sport. Wait. Leave this sport.
I'm with the Rocket, and I get the phone call, and you said, Hello? this is you speaking. You left a message. Hello? I'm on the Bulgy Bridge on the way to...
Gisborne.
Why didn't you ask us if we wanted to come to Gisborne?
We've still got those cowboy outfits we hired.
Yeah. Why didn't you? Don?
You still with us, Don?
Yeah, I'm just looking at the contribution I got from the surgeon from Mount Gambier.
What did he say?
I don't know. I've left, like everything else, I've left it at
home. Oh, yeah. We asked you to bring the stuff in.
Come on. We're done or what?
Yeah, we're done. I'd say this is a great lesson here today, Don. You leave the topics to me next week, and if I monopolise them...
Bullshit. It's been fine.
What have we spoken about today, go on, that actually got your attention?
Well, you gave the girl at Geelong a don't you know who I am?
I didn't. That's an absolute lie, and I want you to retract that. I'm glad you mentioned that. I want you to withdraw
Stan
that.
Newman.
I want you to...
Mr. Stan Newman.
I want you to withdraw that now.
Stan.
I didn't say that, and you know I didn't say that.
Stan, go and buy us a coffee, Stan.
She said you had to be a member, and he said, yeah, remember me?
Am I a member? Who wore your number? This is another thing. I've got a phone. I'll mention it under sport. Anyway, we'll come back with sport.